You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good morning and welcome to the show. It's just gone 7 past 8 and we talk real estate Saturday mornings for Calypso Bay, where you can live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland. Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development. Visit calypsobay.com.au. Good to be with you. Got a special guest in the studio this morning, Simon Presley, who I'll introduce in just a moment. Simon, of course, is from Propertyology. We've had him in the show before, and it'll be good to catch up with him. Your questions, always welcome too. 13 13 32, or you can SMS us as well, and that number is, I think it's 1300, is it? No? 0427 13 13 32. There you go. So, thanks, Pete. We'd love to have your contribution. Any questions you've got for Simon about the market, about the property market? We're also going to have a look at the Brisbane City Council's redrawing of the flood risk maps today. And I will catch up with Nyung Nguyen too. We're into week two of his flipping exercise, where he's picked up a property on the south side of Brisbane. And he's looking at renovating that. He's not renovating. He's actually going to flip it within 30 days, and he's looking to make a profit of around $50,000 to $70,000. So we'll see how he's going in a week too. Bit of a surprise for him, I heard too, during the week. So we'll pick up on that. He told us last week about a contract on it. Well, we hear where that contract is going. Let's say good morning to our special guest, Simon Presley. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Kevin.
Nice to be talking. Nice to have you in the studio.
Oh, thank you for having us in.
Good. Now, your business, Propertyology. Tell me about that.
The core of our business, Kevin, we're property market analysts. Sure, our office is in Brisbane, but our market's all over Australia. So we wake up every morning and spend our days studying mostly economics. Property to us is shelter. We're helping investors from all around the country, some expats as well, be more sophisticated with investment decisions.
Mm. If you've got a question for Simon, as I said, let us know. Give us a call, 13 13 32. Simon, I did actually get a question during the week that I thought would sit nicely with you, so we'll start with that. It comes from Greta, who's in Upper Kedron. And Greta said, our accountant has just advised us to look at an investment property for tax purposes, but has told us not to bother looking at units because of the additional cost of the body corporate fees. Do you agree? It's interesting because a lot of people tend to look at units and say, well, I don't want a unit because it's got no land, and that's the land is where all the value is, and that's where all the appreciation happens. But I'd like to get your thoughts on Greta's question.
Mm. Few interesting points with Greta's question. Firstly, accountants are tax specialists, and we see this a lot. Well-meaning people, very educated people, but their core business is not advising people on property or investments in general. So that's
the first question I'd ask them is, how many investment properties do you have and how well are they going?
Yeah, and are you qualified to give investment advice? So that's the first thing for everyone to be mindful of. Accountants are very intelligent people, but so are lots of other people, and it's always important to ask people with the specific skills the right questions. So, but there's some gross generalisations here. Firstly, no one should be investing for taxation benefits. You know, we invest for our future, and there can be some advantages, tax advantages in doing that. But the primary decision should be for your future. Generalising house versus units is always dangerous. Depends on which market you're buying into, as to whether the asset of choice is it a attached house or an apartment. And then there can be good houses and some good apartment blocks as well.
Just thinking about apartments for a moment, are the areas that you should be looking at for apartments areas where there's obviously going to be a greater uptake, as in around universities and places where people may not necessarily need transport or need their own car, but it's a hub where, you know, people don't really necessarily want to get that block of land?
Yeah, generally speaking, the demand for apartments increases where you've got a bigger population. So capital cities, for example, will have more apartments than a small, country town. But, broadly speaking, there is a bigger demand for apartment living. demographic changes of that. We're starting to follow the US and Europe. Body corporate fees is a consideration, but it can also be an advantage. You get economies of scale. For example, if you've got a small six-pack block of units and the body corporate fees might be $2,000 or $3,000 per year, I've been through this recently myself where it's been time to replace a roof on a property of my own. Now, when that's a detached house, 100% of that cost is mine. In my case, that was $15,000 to $20,000. Or when the house needs repainting, that could be $20,000 to $30,000. 100% of that cost is mine. When you're part of a body corporate, you get the benefits of economies of scale. So, a unit block that one of my apartments is in, we replaced a roof about 5 years ago, and I was up for a one-off body corporate levy of about $2,000, I think, from memory. Compare that to the $15,000 on a house. So, yes, there can be some complexes where body corporate fees are excessive, and we definitely need to avoid those. But just to rule
along, what makes them excessive? Is it things like lifts and swimming pools?
Yeah, the really big capital expenditure items. You know, a lift, depending on the size of the building, could cost $2 million to replace that.
Now,
you know,
even the maintenance on those sometimes is very heavy.
Absolutely.
The maintenance contracts and so on.
You know, big air conditioning systems in that are right through a complex, swimming pools. You know, there might be nice features and benefits for your tenant, but the landlord's the one ultimately has got to pay for the upkeep of those. So,
when you're looking at apartments, the things that we used to call flats, now called apartments, so these are the walk-ups, the six-packs, typically around some of the older areas, around, let's say, looking in Brisbane, around New Farm, areas like that. To me, they would seem to be quite good investments because, one, they're not new. Also, they're quite generous in size. From my experience, they don't have lifts, very low-body corporates.
Yeah, when apartments is the property style of choice for our own clients, we are looking at the older style, smaller complex, as opposed to the more modern or the really big things.
Have you found that they're a little bit more generous in size, and you get the ability sometimes to add some value by, because they had quite generous laundries in some of them, turning that into an ensuite? Maybe a smaller compact laundry?
Yeah, a lot of the older style apartments, Kevin, are bigger than the ones they're building these days. And I think there's a myth too that new means lower maintenance. The quality of the workmanship back in, say, the 50s, 60s and 70s, there was a lot more pride that tradies put in their work than these days, where it's just all about margins, let's whack them up. Mm. You know, once you put the paint on, the carpet's down, things look clean and brand new, but fast forward a couple of years and then it really gets exposed, some of the quality of the workmanship there.
Yeah, even some people will look at new units because they say, oh, there's greater depreciation, but we've spoken to Brad Beer from BMT Tax Depreciation, and he'll tell you that quite often a lot of the older units have good depreciation values too that have never been taken up, and even in some of the scrapping values you can get good depreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, investors need to be careful with buying new primarily because of the extra depreciation benefits.
Right.
What you also need to be aware of is the price of any typical brand new property, about 40% of that initial purchase price is a whole heap of taxes. So sure, you might be getting more tax benefits by way of depreciation, but you're paying a big premium for that initial purchase price.
Mm. Okay, so the bottom line for Greta?
Bottom line for Greta, don't just draw a big line through apartments. If apartments is the right dwelling style, stick to something that's small, that's low maintenance, and the body corporate fees themselves are generally no more than about $3,000 or $4,000 per year.
Okay. And would you suggest, are there any particular suburbs that Greta should be looking in to invest in?
No. Look, what I'd say to Greta and anyone contemplating investing is Australia is your market, regardless of where you live. So to give yourself the best chance of making the best decision, you need to consider 100% of your options. In this country, that's 9.6 million properties, not just a couple of hundred in your immediate community.
Although your immediate community, for those who want to get started, is not a bad place to start, work up your experience and understand a little bit more about property. Would you?
Not necessarily. That's probably what most of us have done, and certainly it's what I did, but you don't know what you don't know. There's plenty of decisions I've made in the past that, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, I would have made completely differently.
Oh, I think we could all say that. every single one of us, that's for sure. Your questions, 13 13 32, if you'd like to let us know. As I said, I want to talk about Brisbane City Council and redrawing of those flood maps. Before we do, another question in, this one from Julia in Yeronga. Morning, Kevin and Simon. With all the speculation about the predicted downturn in the market, I was wondering if now is the right time to sell our investment property. That's a tough one. We've owned the unit at Dickey Beach for almost 3 years. It's negatively geared and probably worth the same amount of money that we paid for it. Do you recommend that we ride it out, sell it to avoid the downturn in the market? Thanks, love your show, Julia. Thank you, Julia. What do you know about Dickey Beach?
Yeah, Dickey Beach, beautiful part of the world on the Sunshine Coast. Look, 3 years is not a very long time to be owning a property, is it? We do, whether we like it or not, to be a property investor, we need to be patient.
Yeah.
Typically 10 to 15 years is sort of what we need to be looking at. I wouldn't be too concerned about buying a property 3 years ago and it hasn't grown much in value. Outside of Sydney and Melbourne, what Julie's described there is pretty much all of Australia. It's been a quiet time post-GFC.
There's a very good chance too that Julie, and I don't know this particular property, but there's a very good chance that she may have bought it new, which wouldn't surprise me if it hasn't appreciated in value. But as you say, three years is a very short time to actually own an investment.
And look, I'm not sure about the comment that Julia makes about predicted downturn. Look, I think... Australia's big cities, by and large, we're going to be in for modest growth for a few years yet, but I don't know about a downturn.
My guest in studio is Simon Presley from propertyology.com.au. Interesting question there about Dickey Beach and the unit investment. You were talking just before the break there about Julia's comment about the downturn in the market. What's your reaction to the thought that there's an oversupply of units coming up in southeast Queensland?
It's real. It's not just southeast Queensland. It's really Australia's big cities, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, even Perth and Darwin. They probably led the way with an oversupply of apartments. We do feel that the demand will catch up with it because that's the way. Not just Australia, but the rest of the world is heading.
Yeah, well, build it and they'll come.
Oh, look, I think so. We're placing more and more value on our time, aren't we? And people want to spend less time travelling.
Right. Yeah. If you're looking at the Brisbane market, I mean, there have been people who have been predicting an oversupply and a crash in the Brisbane unit market now for, well, I've been doing this show for 11 years, and I think every year someone is predicting that crash, which hasn't really happened.
No.
But we're seeing a lot more cranes go up, and I think a lot of the predictions are on the basis of approvals. They don't necessarily always come out of the ground. Just because something is approved, it doesn't mean to say it's going to be built.
True. It might not be, and some of these big projects in Brisbane probably won't be built when originally planned, but the odds are they still will be built. If it's delayed 1 or 2 years because that's what they need to do before they get their pre-sales, then obviously that's what some developers will do or the banks will insist that they do. But there is a genuine concern, especially in inner Brisbane, about building way too many apartments for what demand currently requires. So that will catch up over time, but it's going to take a few years, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of those approvals not happen, probably more so than normal because the banks are really tightening up on foreign investors, on investment per se, because you know they're just tightening their books. And I think a lot of them won't come out of the ground because they've got to get so many pre-approvals, so many pre-purchases before the bank will even allow them to start construction. So, I'm predicting that a lot of them just simply won't get out of the ground.
There's a lot of time and money that a developer puts into getting something approved by City Council, though, so they're not doing it for practice.
No, that's right. Exactly. Okay, I think we answered Julia's question. Another one from Bruce at Narangbar. Enjoy the program. Love the interview that you did with the Minister and the Commissioner for the QBCC. That was a couple of weeks ago. How do you get a realistic view on what sort of rental return you might get on a property? Do you believe the selling agent or is there another mob who can look at this sort of thing for you? Okay, so the question from Bruce is, how do you predict the rental return?
A real estate agent selling the property will be able to give you a guide as to, you know, what sort of rental return you'll get from that property. But within the real estate industry, there are different professions. There are those who sell properties, there are those who manage properties, auctioneers and buyer's agents. So I'd be talking to a property manager. With that much information available on the internet these days, though, it's probably just as simple as jumping on realestate.com, domain.com, those sort of search engines, type in the suburb that you're looking to buy this property in, put in your three-bedroom, two-bathroom house, whatever it's going to be, you're going to be within $5 or $10 just by doing that.
Mm. Okay, I like your advice there about property managers, because I think, you know, they've really got their foot. It's interesting, and I mentioned this in the show just the other week about the number of specialist property management businesses that are emerging. One that we talk about quite often in the show, Image Property Management. They are specialists. That's what they do. They don't necessarily sell property, but and I think that's lifted the level of property managers in Australia generally.
It's a great idea, and certainly. Our business, where we're investing all around the country, we certainly make it a point to interview property managers and look for those who have the passion for property management. Unfortunately, a lot of property management businesses within real estate agencies, they're owned by the principal whose passion is in selling property. So those who are really managing the property management business, their heart really isn't in it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's more a job, whereas the standalone property management business that you're referring to earlier there, Kevin, that's all they do. You know, if they're not good at that, they're not good at anything. So a lot of the more traditional real estate businesses, as I said, it's the property management part of that business is a bit more of an afterthought, unfortunately, for the owner of the business, who cares more about selling properties.
Very good. Okay, we're coming up to news. We'll get an update on the news in just a moment. We're talking real estate. We do that for Calypso Bay, where you can live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development, calypsobay.com.au. Give them jump online and check that one out. A little bit later in the show, as I said, we're going to catch up with Nyung Nguyen, and we'll get an update on how he's going with his property. He's into week two, actually, week two of his flipping exercise, and I did talk to him about it during the week. And last week we mentioned that he'd had a contract. Well, we've got some sad news about that contract, but some probably good news on the horizon too. The interesting thing about this flipping exercise, Simon, I thought it was very brave of Nyung to do this because he came out right at the start and said, in 30 days I'm going to find, flip a property and make a profit out of it. But as you're going to find out, it's all about the initial purchase. You know, you make money out of real estate when you buy it, not necessarily when you sell it. I think that's an area where a lot of people go wrong with if they do decide to flip, and I don't know that I'd be game to do it in this kind of market, but certainly Nyung has done and he continues to do it. But we heard last week that he has a team of people that do nothing other than look for properties for him. So he probably actually looks at about 50 properties or even 100 properties before he'll buy one. So it's all about the initial purchase, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not for the faint-hearted that flipping.
No, it's certainly not. And even in going through this journey with Nyung, you know, it's been quite interesting to watch, because he's got a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah.
Because he's come out and publicly said there's one thing to do it privately. And if it doesn't work, then you can really be quiet about it. But this, you got no chance to be quiet on this one. So he's pulling out all the stops on this one.
Yeah,
so it's been an interesting journey so far. It'll be good to watch it.
All the best to him.
Yeah, we'll catch up with him a little bit later in the show.
Weekend Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Thanks to Calypso Bay. Live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development. calypsobay.com.au.
And at this time every Saturday morning, we pull into the show our good friend, Dr. Andrew Wilson, Chief Economist at the Domain Group. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Kevin.
You operating? Where are you operating from today?
A lovely city town. I've been in Melbourne and up at Byron Bay earlier in the week.
Oh, you're at Byron Bay. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything there, Andrew?
No, a little bit too much on me.
Oh, come on, come on.
Yeah, it's a very expensive part of the world, beautiful part of the world too. But yeah, I did some presentations there for the McGrath Group, so hi to those guys, and doing very, very strong markets, those northern New South Wales, southern Queensland markets, so Gold Coast market really firing on 8 cylinders at the moment, Kevin, so everybody's pretty happy at the moment in those property markets.
Well, traditionally too, this is the first weekend of the spring selling season, so how are we looking as we head into spring?
Well, certainly a big bump up in auctions today, Kevin, nearly 900 auctions in Melbourne, and pushing up towards 600 in Sydney, and those numbers are significantly higher than recent weekends. And typically we do see that last weekend in August being the entree into the spring selling season. And, numbers still lower than where they were a year ago. That's the trend this year in most markets, is seeing lower listing numbers. Of course, coming off the back of a very strong period last year in terms of buyer and seller activity. So no real surprise, and the markets are, in terms of stock, are looking around about what they did in 2013 and 14. But some very heady auction clearance rates recently, last weekend.
Big one in Sydney, yeah.
Well, it was the highest August result ever recorded. So it was a record August result, 84.1%. Another strong result in Melbourne too, Kevin, of 77.7%. So plenty of interest from buyers in property in Melbourne and Sydney at the moment, and really their boom time figures in Sydney, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of price energy we get out of these very strong results.
I wonder how much of that's being driven by the fact that, you know, we are hearing that stock is a little bit tight around Australia, particularly in Sydney, and, you know, you've got that pent-up demand from buyers who are still looking to get in, so therefore, you know, it doesn't really surprise me about those auction clearance rates. Do you think that's got anything to do with stock levels?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the old law of supply and demand, Kevin. I mean, it's a great seller's market, but it's a bit of a tougher gig for buyers because they don't have the choice that, you know, they've had, particularly last year, that their certain numbers will rise now through spring, but I think that numbers will be maybe around about 20% lower in Sydney and about 10% lower in Melbourne going right through to spring. And look, it's, a lot of that energy has dissipated last year. A lot of buying and selling activity was brought forward. And, of course, people don't typically buy a house every year. You know, once that decision's been made and activated, you know, it's particularly with those very strong confidence levels last year, it takes a while to sort of re-energise the market, but I think it's more about a normal market this spring compared to last spring, which was extraordinary.
Yeah, I do think on the back of, you know, the Sydney market getting so much talk about how strong it is, and it is a very strong market, people tend to overlook just how strong Brisbane is and what it's doing. I still think the Brisbane economy is very, very strong, and I think the market here is also equally strong because of that, but we don't get to hear too much about it.
Absolutely, Kevin. I couldn't agree with you more, and latest unemployment data for the latest economic data for Brisbane, which was released this week, shows that Brisbane's created an extra nearly 31,000 jobs over the past year, and unemployment rate's down to 5.1%. That's down from 5.9%, and that's a better performance than Melbourne in terms of the unemployment rate. So, yeah, you're right. It doesn't perhaps get its fair share of publicity, but doing very nicely at the moment, the Brisbane economy. And, of course, no surprise that the Brisbane and southeast Queensland housing markets are doing very nicely as well. So, you know, chicken and egg, who knows? But certainly, you know, there's certainly a lot of reasons for confidence in the Brisbane economy at the moment. Just hope that it can sort of shift its way up into the northern parts of the state, which is still struggling a bit.
One of the other trends that I've noticed too, Andrew, and I'd love to get your comment on this, and I'll get Simon's comment on it as well, and that is the number of renovations that are happening where people are deciding to improve rather than move, not necessarily putting their property on the market, but adding value to it, even in some cases holding onto the land, knocking the house down and putting a new house up. What are reno numbers like in Brisbane right now?
Well, we've just had the latest renovations data out from the ABS. Kevin, showed a big shift over June. $206.5 million worth of renovations were approved over the June quarter, and that was up from $177 million over the March quarter. Obviously, seasonal effects meant that we would have had an increase. But look, you're absolutely right. As property values rise, particularly inner city property values rise, the action of renovating rather than buying and selling becomes more favoured, and no surprise seeing areas in Brisbane such as Milton and Paddington are leading the pack in terms of renovation numbers. And there was nearly $8 million worth of renovations approved in Paddington, Milton over the June quarter, and that's a big lift of 18% over the quarter, and over the year of 10.3%. Ashgrove was number two there as well. Renovations always favour those inner city locations, established areas where potential sellers think, well, I don't want to leave the area, so I'd rather improve my property rather than look for another one. And it makes sense with property values rising and higher property values that you don't tend to overcapitalise with renovations.
Yeah, you mentioned there Milton, Paddington and Ashgrove on the west side. Yeah. Any other suburbs around Brisbane that are highlighted in that report?
Well, certainly Tarragindi is one of them, Cooperoo, Wynnum, all those inner, you'd call those meaty inner suburban areas in Brisbane, established areas, higher prices. They always tend to favour renovations. And, of course, renovations is a solid part of the economy as well, not just new building And, you know, also I think the punters out there are more interested in renovating, home renovations. Of course, we had the Block start this week, Kevin. I don't know if you've been watching the Block, which, of course, is sponsored by Domain. I put a little ad in there.
Oh. Is it sponsored by Domain? I missed that somewhere.
So, anyway, yeah, just to, yeah, but yeah, we've certainly got plenty of attention from people out there in terms of renovation, home renovation. Quite interesting. And, of course, there's a real sort of a craft industry with those that, you know, turn over renovated properties and do it as a, I guess, a small-time business initiative. And they can too, depending on the cycle, you know, make quite reasonable profits there. So, renovations up in Brisbane and another positive driver of the economy.
I spoke to Scotty Cam. I spoke to Scotty Cam last Sunday, actually, in the show, just as the Block was about to start. And, you know, we made the point there. I think the purchase price on that particular development was about just a touch over $5 million. They're going to develop five units. So even before they start, you're looking at a unit cost just to acquire of $1 million, and then you've got to go through the improvements. So, I mean, no developer in their right mind would ever do that kind of development. It just makes a great television show. And
That's right.
And he was the first to admit that they will overcapitalise. They'll grossly overcapitalise it.
But, you know, you're working the profits of the TV show that's involved. And, you know, if you take the big picture, it's, you know, it's a tremendous event for them financially.
Oh,
but we do have a strong, I guess, ground-level connection to renovating, and it's become part of the popular culture through shows like The Block over recent years. And, you know, and as I said, the more costly inner city property becomes, the more viable a renovation or an operation becomes rather than trying to find a property, and the risk of overcapitalisation becomes less and less.
Yeah, I was watching a television show last night. Cherie Barber was on. She renovated a unit, a little unit, for about just under $10,000. I think it was around about $10,000. And, you know, she did a lot of – there was no structural work. It was all just a lick of paint here and maybe, you know, looking at some cosmetic changes throughout. But that actually returned quite well for them. But I think by the time you look at things like labour, none of the labour costs were ever built into these. You've got to be very careful, I think, in watching a lot of these television shows that you just don't think, oh, this is really easy, because you've got to take into account all the costs. And Cherie Barber will be the first one to tell you that too.
Yeah, and look, absolutely, Kevin. I think also you've got to be guided by tradesmen as well.
Yeah,
and I think it's always important to have the quality finish, and that's why tradesmen are tradesmen, because, you know, they give you the proper professional job. And absolutely, you need to look into all the bits and pieces in terms of your financial modelling. And look, it is about more suiting those inner suburban properties which have higher land values, and therefore, you know, you've got a lot more wriggle room in terms of your turnover potential.
I like the wriggle room. Thanks, mate. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Good on you, Kevin.
See you, buddy. Mate. Bye, mate. Thank you. Yep. Dr. Andrew Wilson there, Chief Economist at the Domain Group. It's coming up to 16 to 9.
Ally Financial Group Proprietary Limited, Australian Credit License 394882. Your full financial situation will need to be reviewed prior to acceptance of any offer or product.
When you're arranging business finance, the bank can only advise you on their own loan options. Speak to Ally Financial Group, though, and we'll search over 30 lenders to find the right loan for you. We'll take the time to get to know you and understand your business and needs. With Ally Financial Group, there's no jargon. Arranging your commercial business loan couldn't be easier. For objective advice from a company that works for you, not the banks, visit allyfg.com. allyfg.com. Ally Financial Group. We're on your side.
It's quarter to nine and the 2016 REIQ Summit. It's time. It's taking place at the Royal International Convention Centre on October 6 and 7. And as I've been saying, it will be the real estate event of 2016. A quick question. What do the Australian cricket team, elite sports professionals and top-ranked CEOs of Australia and international companies all have in common? Well, they've all worked with Andrew May, a leading human performance and productivity expert. Now, he's going to help you be more productive, cope with the stress, achieve work-life balance, look after your health, and achieve sustainable high performance. Remember the name. It is Andrew May. Now, his session will provide strategies to manage key performance movements and moments and leave you with new skills that you can implement into your business straight away. And that's why it will be the real estate event of 2016, featuring Andrew May and lots of other great speakers too. Get the full details at reiqsummit.com.au.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
You might recall last week I was talking to Nyung Nguyen from Advanced Property Strategies about his flipping exercise where he's found, secured last week, a property that he intends to on-sell within a 30-day period. He joins us again. Good morning, Nyung.
G'day, Kevin. How are you going?
Nyung, tell me what's happened since last weekend. You secured the property. I understood it was under contract. And you said to me, if I remember correctly, that you're planning not to do much work to it. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, well, so we put the property on the market, I think, about 3 or 4 days into signing of the contract. And we've had a little bit of response, but I think what's happened is we've got a buyer who's missed out on a house in the street. And I thought the other house had sold for, I think, for $418 or so. We purchased ours for $320, and he's coming in with an offer. So I think it's just in the last 24 hours, we've recently just signed a contract at $410 with him, very, very keen on the property because he's missed out on the other property. He then proceeded to tell me that the other property on the street, which is lower, he'd missed out, and his offer was $440. So I'm thinking maybe I sold the property too cheap, but you know, we've been out there doing a bit of marketing, and you know, when you can say right place, right time, it's pretty uncanny. We just put it out there, put offers over $399 on the internet, and see what's happened, and it looks like we've got someone who's really keen, and going from there.
Okay, I understand the process, but let's talk it through, because a lot of people are probably scratching their head and saying, well, hang on a minute, you haven't even settled on this property yet, how can you on-sell it? Take me through that process. What are the legalities there?
So really, once you've signed a contract, from my understanding, is that you have the right to do whatever you want with it. Obviously, I can't move in without their possession and without their permission. I can't take possession, but I can market it for rent and market it for sale. The only challenge is that, you know, I can't literally do the transaction from a transfer point of view until I have title. So I could do what's called a transfer by direction, which is a simultaneous settlement on the same day. However, I don't have the authority to do that. We'd literally have to settle first, and then 24, 48 hours later, do another settlement on selling the property.
You could do what's called a simultaneous and contemporaneous settlement, which is where you settle, and then you settle to purchase the property, and then you settle to sell the property again in the same transaction. Is that what you're planning to do?
Look, at this stage, it hasn't worked out that way. I think the contract, the dates between the first contract and the second contract have been, I think, 13 days. Also, so with the new buyer, he's got 30 days to settle. So there's going to be a bit of a lag of possibly up to 2 weeks between my settlement and his settlement.
Yeah, so you'll have to fund the purchase and carry it for 13 days.
That's right.
But you've got a profit in there of some 50-odd thousand, I think, was the original projection. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So purchase price of $320, on purchase price of $410. We're looking gross profit of $90 after stamp duty and legals. You know, we're talking about somewhere between $70,000 and $75,000. And look, it hasn't been quite the 30-day challenge I'd planned, but you know what? Once we settle and we settle again, it's going to be like 13 to 14, maybe 15 days from settlement to settlement, and I'm really happy with that, assuming it goes through. And if it doesn't go through at the moment, I'm working on a backup contract for someone else to sign a contract on it at same or higher price, so that basically I'm leaving nothing to chance.
Will you, this is a great response. Is it because you purchased well or purchased in an area that's in high demand?
I personally believe that I'm an area expert in this area. I've got two other projects that one's finished and the other one's being finished. And I know that the property was worth at least $390. So $390 to $410, like I mentioned on our last interview, median price $384. So I just knew that the property is under market value. It's got 4 bedrooms, tile roof, and you know, 700 odd square meters. So with that 700 odd square meters zoned low to medium residential, there is a huge demand, especially at this price point. You know, if you go into Sydney, Melbourne, you know, anything like this within 15 k's, you're talking at least, you know, 700 grand, 800 grand, a million bucks even. So there's a lot of interest in this particular property, and we're loving it.
Now, Nyung, you purchased this property on the south side of Brisbane. You are based in Brisbane. Would you do this in other parts of Australia if you were not living there?
Oh, mate, I'd do it wherever I could. I think it's having a marketing strategy and finding properties off-market. Oftentimes, people go to realestate.com.au to find deals, and by the time it's hit the net, I believe it's too late. So Now, realestate.com.au is a really good tool for selling property to get top dollar and get it out there because everybody's on the net. But to get properties under market value or dealing with property owners direct, I think you do need to either door knock, send out letters, flyers, and deal directly with owners. And that's how real estate agents get leads.
Yeah, and that's what you explained to us last week in the show too, is how you actually secured that, is that you've got a marketing person who's doing exactly that. And now we're going to continue to follow this through. I want to follow it all the way through to the final settlement, if we may, to see what, if any problems do emerge that we can learn from. Thanks for your time. It's an interesting journey Young Nguyen is taking us on as he's looking at flipping or turning over a property within 30 days. Probably going to be a little bit longer than that, but it will be successful by the looks of it. Nguyen, of course, from Advanced Property Strategies. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Back with us once again, Kieran Clare from Australian Property Investor Magazine. A couple of weeks ago, of course, we had the Commissioner for the QBCC, Brett Bassett, in the show. Interesting to see here that the QBCC has issued a warning to consumers after catching out four building companies, Kieran.
Yes, that's right, Kevin. The companies were collectively fined more than $40,000 for unlicensed building, work services and other offences in Queensland. Now, the Commissioner, Brett Bassett, as you mentioned, says that anyone who may have contracts with Iridium Holdings, which were previously known as Members Alliance Holdings, Mappy Queensland, Silverback Constructions or Image Building Group, should seek legal advice, particularly if looking to reassign the contracts to another builder. Homeowners purchased properties relating to the companies in locations including Roma, Bowen, Pimpama, Coomera, Upper Coomera, Kilcoy, Monto, Gympie, Carolee, Logan Village and Brassall. Bassett says homeowners who enter into a contract to carry out building work should always ensure that those entities are licensed to perform building work, and he suggests heading to the QBCC website to check on your potential new builder before you move.
Excellent, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks, Kevin.
Weekend Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Thanks to Calypso Bay. Live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development, calypsobay.com.au.
Coming up to 2:30 to 9, and we're going to go. But just before we go, my special in-studio guest, Simon Presley. Simon, I got a question that that came in from Philip Clayfield. Do you recommend buying all of your investment properties in one area or splitting them up, which is pretty much in line with what you and I were talking about just before? What's your comment on that? Hang on, I'll get you on. There you go.
I love the question, Kevin, and it's the very reason why Propertyology exists. I'm a big advocate. No matter how much money you've got, don't put all your eggs in the one basket. Spread it around. Very similar philosophy to what a share investor would do. They wouldn't put $100,000 just in CBA stocks. They'd spread it over different industries.
Would you buy sight unseen?
Do it every day. But that doesn't mean that I'm a high risk taker. There's quality assurance processes that we put in place to mitigate our risk with that. But look, Australia is a massive market. If you're looking to invest in property, take advantage of the entire country and look at things from an economic perspective. Property is shelter at the end of the day. Where we live is our home, but where we want to get our money working hard, think more about economics and the factors that affect both the supply side and the demand side of shelter.
Okay, so in other words, spread your risk.
Spread your risk and take advantage of multiple opportunities.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got an investor who can afford to buy a property worth, say, $800,000. A very large percentage of investors would be looking within a 5 kilometre radius of where they live and they'd spend their $800,000. If that's my $800,000, I'm going to look at all of Australia, and that would probably spread over three different properties, probably in completely different states, with three rental income streams and different industries that support each one of those locations.
And if anyone's in that particular predicament, they could go to your website, propertyology.com.au. Lots of great information there.
Some fantastic free research reports on there.
Free
research reports, infographics, stuff not just in Southeast Queensland, but all over Australia.
Yeah. And Simon, of course, is also a regular guest on our online show too, realestatetalk.com.au. Make sure you check it out. Simon, thanks for being with us. We're out of time. We've got to go. But remember, that's propertyology.com.au. Thanks for your time, mate.
Always great to catch up.
And I'm going to be back again tomorrow morning between 8 and 9 as we talk real estate right here at 4BC. We'll see you then. Thanks, Pete, for your help. And we'll catch you again tomorrow morning, 8 to 9. See you then.